There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And a lot of talking to do today with you. And it's easy to do on the text line or the phone line. Both same digits. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Plus, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us a talk back message. You'll see the microphone icon right there on the front page of the app, I don't know, landing page or whatever. When you go to the app, you'll see that microphone icon. You can press that, records a message, emails it to the show, and I might play it back here on the air. And we will talk. I saw a text here about the Tropical Depression. We can talk about that some later on the show. I just want to say this before we get started in earnest with our first guest. Seriously. Always great to see so many of y'all at the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. It's good to see y'all, like, you know, be out at the grocery store or whatever and get to visit with people. You know, from Liars Contest on through weighing fish over the weekend and coming and going at the rodeo site just to get to visit with y'all. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for being part of what we do around here. And it's great to catch up and catch up in an environment where we can talk about this this show. We can talk about fishing. We can talk about all the things. I really enjoy meeting y'all and hanging out every year. All right, without further delay, you know him from the dynamic website, alabamadailynews.com. And also, if you like to look at TV, you can check him on Capital Journal. It's our buddy Todd Stacey joining us now on this Monday. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
Man, it's good. Coming off the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo and getting ready to get back into it here. And
man, that sounds like fun.
You know, just an idea. I know everybody loves, you know, when, you know what y'all do on your show? Because, I mean, but what about doing a, you know, Capital Journal, like, come and record something at the rodeo. Show the rest of the state, you know, what happens down here. It is the world's largest, I mean, Guinness World Book of Records, world's largest multi-day saltwater fishing tournament. It's the biggest. Planet's biggest is right here at home, here in Alabama.
I'd love to. I'd love to maybe get one of our guys out there on the water. We've talked about doing it with Dolphin Island Sea Lab and kind of showing everybody some of the research they do and all that. But absolutely, I, you know, we have plans to get Capital Journal on the road. We've done a couple of on location episodes. It's honestly just tough to plan.
Sure.
And so yeah, any ideas like that? Come on, man. We need to get out of Montgomery more often.
Well, I've got call me this evening or whatever you get a chance. I got all the contacts you need for this, so we'll work that. We'll work that and have it ready for next year or even before.
Of course,
my brother's
going to be jealous. He's over in Pensacola, and you know he's arguing for coming down there. Of course, you know we're a state show.
Yeah. The Blues. But listen, I would argue that the number of Alabamians that cross the Florida line to watch the Blue Angels show, you could make it. You could say at this point, this area of Florida has a higher population of people from Alabama than...
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so I'm just pitching that. Yeah, we can talk about that later. I do want to talk about this, speaking of us down here in southwest Alabama. The number one story on the email this morning from y'all, Carl and Figures lead fundraising in South Alabama congressional races. So run through the money here.
Yeah, so obviously they're in different congressional districts.
But both southwest Alabama... folks.
Right. And so you've got Jerry Carl, who is just solidified his lead there in the first district. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. He raised $309,000 in May and June. He spent about $140,000. He's got a separate kind of where, I guess, joint fundraising committee, they raised $190,000 in that second year. And so at the end of the quarter, which is how these things are tabulated, he had $438,000 in the bank. And while that may not be huge for a statewide race, it is plenty for a congressional race, especially when there's nobody else even coming close in that first district on the Republican side. There's a Democrat running who has only raised, like, I don't know, $18,000 or something, so I just don't think that's going to be serious. In AL2, though, and this speaks more to the idea that this may be a truly competitive race in November, you've got Shamari Figures, who is already the nominee, right? He did not face any competition in the Democratic primary, and so he's been able to not have to spend any money, fighting off opponents. And if you just put him versus the front runner on the Republican side, Rep. Marcus, Shamari Figures right now has a cash advantage over Rep. Marcus, which may surprise some people considering how, in this state at least, Republicans tend to outraise Democrats. But Shamari Figures has about $200,000 more in the bank than Rep. Marcus, and Marcus is having to spend some of his money in the primary. I mean, he's going to be fine. I think he's by far the front runner. There is no runoff.
But he does have to spend going into August 11th.
A little bit, yeah. And so, whereas Figures gets to cruise and maybe even do some messaging ahead of that, I think actually that would be pretty smart. But it just, and there was that poll. Granted, it was a Democratic firm, but like, it was that poll showing that Figures was, within the margin to be competitive in that race. And so you never know. I mean, we don't know how the national environment's going to be. We don't know how it's going to look in November. There's been a lot of predictions about Democrats doing better. But, based on, the polling, the fundraising, I mean, Shamari Figures might actually have a competitive shot, a puncher's chance, if you will, which is interesting for electoral purposes. But, Sean, it's also interesting because if you go back to all these redistricting fights, this was the original map that the Republicans passed, and they argued, hey, this would be an opportunity district. This would be a competitive seat. So the more information that comes out like that, like the polling, like the fundraising, maybe they were right. Maybe this district is actually more competitive than the plaintiffs were arguing in all these court cases.
Yeah, and on the fundraising side, too, remind me, what did they end up deciding? That the money that you could... Because it's a new election, did you have a reset of what you could raise, or were people maxed out from the previous? What was the decision on that?
Well, there was no primary, so
even though the name showed up on the ballot,
right? So that's a really important distinction, especially when it comes to federal races, because you're right, it matters the election cycle. In fact, they're somewhat at a disadvantage because there's no runoff. If there was a runoff, who knows if there would actually be a runoff, but that counts as another cycle. So you get to raise another, $3,000 from individuals and $5,000 from couples, and I forget all the limits. It's $10,000 for a PAC. There was no election in June or in May. So this August 11th, that counts as one election. And then the general will count as another election. So yeah, if you're maxing out federal dollars, then you have two elections to do that.
All right. I also want to talk about one of the things you had on Capital Journal. You said Randy Scott continuing the focus on healthcare in Alabama, this time in the rural part of the state that's seeing health infrastructure challenges. Is there? There probably isn't. That's why I'm asking you these tough questions. What's missing? We hear about the absolute problem in rural Alabama with health care. What is missing? Is it just the people? Is it that we don't have enough people there for the hospitals to get people through, so they shut down? What is going on?
Well, this specific story that we know that rural Alabama has had challenges with health care going back decades, but this specific one was about ambulance service. And so if in rural Alabama, there's obviously just fewer ambulances to go around, fewer places for them to go. And so there was actually a bill in the legislature last year to kind of address that by allowing EMTs to treat in place, basically, and to have insurance back that up and say it's okay. You don't need to just pick somebody up take him to a hospital, if you treat in place, that's covered by insurance. And so I don't think the bill made it all the way through, but they've started the conversation about, ambulance infrastructure, if you will, in rural Alabama, because, I mean, you're talking about a 2-hour trip in some cases, at least, you know, back and forth to a hospital. So should insurance be able to cover or be forced to cover treating in place? And so that's it's a specific to ambulance availability issue.
I wonder what, what they do in Wyoming. You know what I'm saying? I often look to other states to learn things for Alabama, Wyoming or somewhere like that that's sparsely populated. How do they deal with that? You know, I don't know if we've looked at that as a state.
I don't know. I mean, I think part of the issue is when you talk about rural Alabama, some of these towns, some of these, small towns used to be pretty big towns, or at least relatively speaking. When you talk about an Op Alabama or Demopolis or, some of these towns, they used to, their county seats, their, when Alabama was just a more agricultural, more rural state, they were hubs. But a lot of folks have moved to the cities, into the suburbs, and so the population has dwindled. When that happens, the economy suffers. There's a lot of poverty. And so it's not just being remote. I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. And again, I don't have all the answers, but it is important to highlight these things, because we were talking a lot about Jackson Hospital here in Montgomery, and it's worth talking about. It's a major urban hospital in downtown Montgomery. It would be a big deal for the entire state if it closed down. But I haven't talked about that for a couple of weeks. Randy wanted to get out and remind folks that it's not just an urban issue. It's a rural issue as well, and in some cases, a lot worse in rural places.
People want to check that out. Of course, like I said, you could watch it when it airs live, and I have seen it live before. But I am I'm one of your YouTube people. Tell them how to check out Capital Journal, watch it live and watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, that's the easiest way. I think that's what a lot of people do, or do it on YouTube TV. And that's just YouTube. Go to YouTube, search Capital Journal. You can subscribe right there so you never miss an episode. That's what a lot of people do. I have a reminder on YouTube TV to record it every week. So I think that's more than most. But, yeah, you can catch it anytime.
All right. And if you want to get signed up for this email we're always talking about, how do they do it?
It's real easy. Just go to aldailynews.com, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
Good stuff, Todd. I appreciate it, man. And expect a call, because we got to get y'all down here. Focus on the C-Lab, focus on the radio, rodeo, all that good stuff.
Yeehaw.
All right, there we go. There he goes, Todd Stacey, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:23 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. What's now Tropical Depression number 2 could become possibly by tomorrow, saying, Tropical Storm Bertha by tomorrow morning, this afternoon, this evening, or tomorrow morning. Bertha, good old storm name. I have this theory, kind of, it's not always perfect, but stronger the storm, Ivan ruined everything. But the stronger the storm name, the storm doesn't need to prove anything, so it doesn't kick as much butt, but I don't know. Bertha. To track along, go east-west along the coast here. We'll get more from Dr. Bill Williams coming up on that. Oh, speaking of which, too, I thought about, they said, oh, yeah, spaghetti bottle time again. I sure wish I had musical talent. I'd start a band just to be able to call the band the Spaghetti Models. So if you're a band out there looking for a name, how about that? It's Spaghetti Models. Oh, yes, Scott, did I see your name? Yes, you did see my name on the board for a little bit at the rodeo. And a little bit being the key word. It's that Friday. It's that Friday sugar high when you're on the board with the fish. And then by the time I had finished the midday show on Friday, I was already moving on down the stack. I don't know where I am. You have to dig down. Did not stay at the top of the the top of the speckled trout steaks. I did not. All right. To the text line at 251-343-0106. Let's see. Michael said, every time I hear about the Taco Bell, what did you call it? The Cyclo. I can't even read. That's funny. The stomach disease or the stomach ailment, the cyclopariasis, right? The explosive. Yeah. So Michael goes on to say, every time I hear about that, I would recommend people go to Adventure Earth so they can get a more comfortable seat for their bike. Yeah. Well, you know what I think? This is how strange my brain is. I was riding back from the island. We were going down to get the van back. And I started thinking, when I heard that story, Michael, on the news, I started thinking, do you think they're upset at the people making the GLP stuff? They're like, oh my gosh, if we, this is going to get people losing so much weight, they're going to get off the, get off the fat shots. Pelican, I guess I could read this. I said, I've been constipated for months. Anybody know where I could get some tainted lettuce? You know, this does bring me to my soapbox, right? The steady soapbox I stay on about our water and why this is important and why I just don't, I won't let it go. I will not let it go. Every time we have, you know, a rain and there's X number of gallons, you know, it's 10,000, it's 100,000, it's a million gallons of sewage goes into our water. You know, this is what we're talking about. Do you get the idea? And this is because contaminated water used, I think, to irrigate the lettuce and they didn't clean it or something to that effect. Being in a place where water is makes our lives, it is not just for our fun, but for business, for the reason people come here, and the stuff, we'll leave it at that, keeps going in the water. I want to see a Manhattan Project on this locally, and the state has the money through the Restore Act money for these utilities to upgrade their facilities. If I'm in a position of power here, I'm going to say, y'all, we need all, what do you need? Because we're going to hold you to account. So we're going to give you the tools you need to keep the out of the water. Make it happen. Make it happen. I mean, it's continue. I mean, these, they were always, there's always these stories that, you know, the listeria outbreak or cholera stuff on the water, but I mean, stuff on the crops and coming from places that aren't the United States. Oh, it's coming from Mexico. It's coming. Okay. But here at home, we can do something about it. Greg says, yeah, do that C-Lab episode, Todd. Listen, Greg, I'm going to try to get him to do that. I would like to see, try to, you know, get something like Capital Journal that's Montgomery-focused to get it, the Capital. But if you're talking about our state, how many people in Hartselle, Alabama? How many people in Rainbow City, in Atala? How many people, you know, in the general Limestone County Metroplex? How many do they know what goes on down here? I think we need to, you know, we know what goes on in their places, so let's make sure they do as well. So, Greg, I'm going to keep pushing that. Unnamed texter, how much Shamari money comes from Alabama? I don't know the breakdown. You know there's a lot of national money comes into that campaign, for sure. But it is interesting to see the fundraising, you know, that those numbers are up. I don't think Shamari figures he's going to win two, but I think what is appetizing about that story that Todd was saying is, you know, the plaintiffs in the case said, well, it's not, there's no way Democrats could win, and two, that's why we had to redraw it, right? But what if he came closer? What if he did win? Then where would their argument be then? Buddy said, do you think commercial fishing is hurting king mackerel? You know, we addressed that, Buddy, on the outdoor show a little bit, and I know that there's research going to be going into that. I don't think it is, but this is completely just off-the-cuff, non-scientific. I think it's maybe a change in the bait patterns or whatever, but we'll you could see that if you're, what you're talking about is the, we talked about it sitting around after fishing each day, how small the kings were in the rodeo compared to what it used to be. I mean, it was just very obvious that there's an issue there, and we've talked about it, Mike Ward and I have on the show a whole bunch, and probably we'll visit that again this weekend on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. But something's wrong. Something is wrong. Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Somebody who did the... Marvin. It's Marvin the Flathead. Said I was 64th at the end. That's how far... So, number one on Friday, 64 by Sunday. What, a couple tenths of a pound would have helped me there, right, Marvin? All right, coming back, more Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106. What's next with Iran? I mean, for our country, what do we do next? I want to hear from you.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Great time to check in with the professor, my buddy Ron, at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And Ron, let's start off with, you said mixed today with gold and silver prices. What are you looking at?
Right now, gold is down $3.83, so pretty much where it was Friday, $4,011.99. And silver is up $1.02 at $56.84. So some optimism. That they'll strike a deal with Iran. I can't see how we're blowing stuff up. They're blowing stuff up. It's a mess. Makes it a good time for people to add to their stacks, but it's very uncertain as far as the markets. As you well know, stock market and the bullion markets are mixed up, down pretty much every day.
What is it like, and some things are, well, you've explained a lot of things to me, that would have silver up and gold down on the same day.
Yes, that is very strange, but it's the difference in the up and down is so small. It's because earlier gold was up and silver was down a few cents. So it just means that day traders are out there doing their day trading thing is how I take that, because all the news hasn't changed. The new news was exactly the same as the open market news. It's a lot of uncertainty with Iran.
You know, and look at it, like the headroom here, what kind of headroom we might have. Like gold, you know, we talk about, oh, it's down this week or whatever. It, all I say is just zoom back, y'all, for the two-year window on this and look what gold's done. Could silver appreciate at those rates as well? You know, people say, well, will we ever see a $200 for silver? Is that, I mean, what do you think? I mean, you're a kind of a staid conservative mind on this. I like it. What do you think?
I think they'll stay under $100. I think the new number for silver and Iran situation will probably be in the $70 to $80 range. Now, of course, Sean, if inflation kicks in and things keep going like they were beforehand, then all bets are off, because over this year when silver made its run, inflation numbers were bad, everything was bad, and of course, investors were happy with it. They were happy to put their money into it, and it was helping driving the prices up, and then, of course, the Iranian thing, invasion happened, and not really an invasion, a lot of bombs going off, and hopefully there will be no ground invasion, because then it's really be a mess.
Yeah, we're going to get to that, actually, and that's interesting you said that. We'll get to that in the next segment here on the show. All right, well, people want to learn more about precious metals, check out different ways to purchase those, tell them how to find you.
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com or just give us a call at the shop at 251-725-1590.
Hey, thanks, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right, there goes Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And he set me up kind of for what we're going to talk about. He didn't know that, but yeah, we sit at a precipice here with this conflict with Iran that I wonder... Are we? Is there anything beyond a binary choice? And, you know, the discussion we had had, Cameron Smith and I had many times on the show, is his theory is you either have got to withdraw and leave what will be, like I've said, the Iranians will keep on doing what they've done. It's not some kind of silly sitcom world where they'll go, oh gosh, United States, we really learned our lesson. We won't do that again. It's not going to happen that way. Or do you go into a country of 92 million with a ground war, boots on the ground? I find both of things distasteful, and I find boots on the ground distasteful, but it feels like the Overton window has moved on this, right? I mean, by what's happened here, and let's talk about right off the bat, and now you probably have heard an additional American service member killed now. You had the two U.S. troops dead, one missing in action with the attack in Jordan, right, on the American troops in Jordan. Now you have a coming out today. An additional U.S. service member killed in northern Iraq during a controlled detonation of a downed Iranian drone. So we have three. And remember, it's been like, kind of, whether it's on paper or not, it's been, we will respond this way if there's no American service members killed, right? Is the Iranians don't punch the person they're supposed to punch. They punch that person's, you know, cousin or something, hitting the Gulf states. But now we've got more Americans killed in this. So that moves, and yes, all the bombing raids and all this stuff's been done. But think about this, too. This coming out like Military Times, and some people have talked about this. Increased number of fighter jets going there. I don't know if there's any bolstering. We already were quite bolstered on the naval side. Any bolstering of Navy, you know, of an increase in the Navy there. In addition, though, refueling. I saw that story this morning. More refueling tankers, more fuel coming to the region, set up to be able to. It doesn't mean for sure that we're going to go into another chapter in this, but some of the things that have been reported here that are happening makes me think if he needed a nudge, and I don't know what President Trump is going to wake up and one day do. He's going to want to get this thing over. How do you get this thing over? You just leave, and if you leave, you're admitting defeat. If you completely buy them off, even though, you know, there's some of that in that memorandum of misunderstanding, but if you completely buy them off, well, you're doing exactly what you criticized Obama for. And people have said, that, you know, do you send a nuclear weapon? I mean, my gosh, it makes my stomach turn to think about that. Where would you stop supporting this? You know, I've been a person that, since word go, wanted no part of this. I will support, once it starts, I'm an American, I support our people. I'm Team America always. But in being Team America, you can also say, hey, no more. Where do you say no more? Because if the Iranians now keep ramping up, and the idea that we wiped them all out in the beginning, that was propaganda. The ability, they didn't just rebuild missile batteries. They had more. We have not taken everything out, and they can continue to fight back. So where do you dog it off, as they like to say? Where do you go, that's enough? Or do you go to the point, if President Trump had a live event tonight on TV and said, okay, well, we've decided just this situation, it's for the safety of the world and for we, the American people, we're going to, you know, advance this plan. Or you wake up one day and we've got an amphibious mission into a Iranian island, right? And then we're going to move. Now, I've said that even if the Karg Island thing, I'll hear people on TV say, well, you just take Karg Island. Well, first of all, amphibious assault will be bloody. And then if you take Karg Island and we're occupying Karg Island, do you not think we're going to get tons of ordnance coming in from the Iraqi mainland on it? Where do you go with this? And then you go, okay, well, to be able to secure Karg Island, we have to have an amphibious assault of the coast there and secure the areas the Iranians are shooting at us on Karg Island from. And then further back into Iran, they're shooting into the coastal region where we just landed. You then move further. Where does this go? I mean, there's some of y'all that's whatever he wants, that's going to be the thing I'm supporting. Do you have a place? You're somebody who supported everything. If you're somebody who supported everything that's gone on so far, do you have a place in your mind where you go, but not that? Do you have a but not that? I'll support this, that, and the other we can do, but not that. What is the not that? Do you have it? Is there a place, I mean, would you right now, if President Trump says, we are, as Commander-in-Chief, I've decided, not that I hopefully wouldn't telegraph something, but I mean, say, we are, we're going to do a landing. We're landing, we're going to have a combined air, sea, and land offensive against Iran. We'd be like, oh yeah, that's fine. Where is your but not that moment? Do you or level? Do you have it? I mean, if the gas prices went to at the pump, say we're paying, so you're paying $10 a gallon. At that point, you go, well, okay, well then it's okay to send you know, American service members into a ground war in Iran. Where's your no? I think the Iranians know there's a point where we're going to say no as well. But where's yours? Michael says Iraq had, or this is, sorry, Michael first. The neocons and Zionists are dreaming about sending yours and my son into a mountainous meat grinder that would be Iran's coast. They should see how many died when Iraq thought it could invade and cross the mountains. Fire Dog. Iraq had the fourth largest army in the world prior to 1991. I remember back then they said the population would rise up, add another 15 million to their army, which didn't happen. They surrendered in 100 days. We as a country have no idea about the absolute power. We are a country that have no idea about the absolute power we can bring to any nation or military. David, my line is total war or no war, and I don't think the objectives are clear enough to support the total war. You know, the objective thing, too, is worth discussing. Was it to take out the nuclear facilities, right? We're told, well, now it's about the Strait of Hormuz. Oh, regime change. Well, and what do you expect if we land there? I don't like them either, but we took out their, you know, the combo of their president and their preacher on day one. I do not want to send our folks into a place where there's no safe place for them in a country of 92 million. And Hegseth and others, are they in the president's ear? What are they telling them right now? Fire Dog said, finish this now. Whatever it takes. Otherwise, my grandson's going to be over there fighting in 20 years. If I could be back at the Air Force and go over there and be boots on the ground, I would gladly do it so he wouldn't have to. Now, coming right back, more Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:51 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And I tell you what, if you were one of those people who could barely get over the Dolphin Island Bridge pulling your boat, I know my man has got a vehicle for you. What you got in boat pullers, RV pullers, those, or camper pullers? What do you got?
We've probably got a little over 30 trucks on the ground. Anything from a couple of Colorados all the way up to a F-350 dual rear wheel crew cab Lariat. So anything you're looking for, a boat puller, we've got six cylinders, we got V8s, EcoBoost, we got the Chevrolet 5.3s, the Ford 5.0s, anything you're looking for, we've got it on the ground.
Okay, I can attest to that. By the way, pulling this weekend was a dream with the new truck from y'all. So talk about how people can come check out the inventory of trucks and everything else online and in person.
You can go online. It's lcmmotorcars.com. If you want to come see us in person, we're on Highway 90 at Plantation. We're a mile south of I-10, exit 15A, the third red light on the left. I mean, we're not hard to find. Or just give us a call, 251-375-0068.
Thanks, David.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
You too. There goes David at LCM Motor Cars. Update here from National Weather Service, by the way. So tropical depression number two that we talked about that might become Bertha, Tropical Storm Bertha. It says, here's the update. Is forecast to move slowly west-northwest over the Gulf and intensifies to tropical storm later today or tonight. Tropical storm watch in effect for coastal portions of northwest Florida and Alabama. You can look at it. It's Mobile and Baldwin County. That's to be expected. That'd be our coastal areas. Storm surge watch has been issued. This is, okay, this is new stuff. Storm surge watch has been issued for the Alabama coast, including southern Mobile Bay. It says minor storm surge inundation possible during high tides on Wednesday and Thursday morning. Dangerous surf expected Tuesday through Thursday. It says based on the current track, potential impacts from tropical storm force winds and locally heavy rain will be generally limited to coastal areas. But we'll have some surge on that. So looks like right now, knock on wood, this will be, you know, just a reminder of where we live. All right. And get to some of these texts. Also, I've seen some text on this. I probably address this later in the week. This is, boating tragedies over the weekend. And one very specific to me, you know, people had texted and the death, the boating accident leading to death in South Baldwin. Know the family, know the deceased. It's horrible. I'm going to wait till we find out more information. We will talk about it on this show. It definitely, because somebody's like, have you seen? Yes, I'm well aware. Sadly, well aware. It's very, very, strikes very close. What's going on? You know, we see this stuff not just when we have a bunch of people on the water, but you can imagine you add that many people to the water. You had Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo going on. You had the Blues flying. Had the Blue Marlin Grand Championship going. All these things on the water at one time. And there's just, I'll wait for more information. It just feels like there's a lot of people running boats out there. We saw it over the weekend. The one morning I didn't fish during the rodeo on Saturday morning, my guys that I fished with said they came very close to being hit by a boat who just, guy was looking. It was not even like he was down digging around something, just running on a course, having no idea, I guess, or not caring who has right of way. And if it wouldn't have been for my friend turning at the last minute saying, this guy's obviously not going to recognize the rules of the road, they would have been hit as well. Something's got to happen here. Just the fact that you can get in a boat doesn't mean you should be getting running a boat. Let's see, from the text line here, Ricardo Montalban. I feel like this is satire. You know, there's not a satire font, which I think would be something if they could do. Said, I want to keep bombing them. It makes me happy. I mean, the Iranians. I hope that's sarcasm, but you can let me know if it is or not. Let's see, unnamed texter. Don't forget who the bad guys are. It's not us. Iran will never do the right thing. It's time to totally destroy their country. Send a message to the citizens to get out of the cities now and then destroy them. What would it look like? Would we go in and rebuild Iran? Is that, and even if you told the people to get out of the cities, I mean, we just bomb it? Bomb people's homes, bomb because of what their government is doing? I mean, at least, I appreciate you because you and Fire Dog and some others you've told me now where your limits are. There's a whole bunch of people who haven't chimed in and said where they'd say, nah, that's too much. Where is that? Is it another total war in the Mideast? And sending our armed forces in there? At least you're concrete on where you go. So you're the people who would say, yeah, if you hear tonight, if the president holds a live thing and says, yeah, we're going in full, you know, we're going to bomb them and then we're going to occupy the country of 92 million, you know, we'll send, you know, this much of our military in and we're going to occupy the country. And then we're going to, I mean, y'all not look at recent history on that? Michael, so Fire Dog would send our sons into Iran for Israel. All of these pro-war folks seem like they gladly offer up the youth to Moloch just for what was plainly said, a war started on what our greatest ally wanted. But you know, I'll say it this way, Michael, your angle, you talk about the Israel influence on the decisions here for Iran. But let's take for a second, let's say that's out of it, okay? That it's not because of that, but we're engaging in it because of the nuclear weapons. Do you at that point still think it's, would somebody think you need to occupy Iran? Go, do we not, you know, it's like memories of goldfish on some people here. Wow, Scott said, I was almost hit by a wave runner in front of Oso and Bear Point. Young girl operating a rental, pretty sure she had little or no experience. It was 5 yards from disaster. My God, we have to talk about what we're going to do on the water. I don't know. I mean, something's got to change.